98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
This is the greatest.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's
is.
Ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Good morning, happy warm blanket Monday to all you Valley sports fans. We have made it collectively to the last game of the football season. Who would have thought we'd ever be here? Intact, even.
Without any games canceled?
Yeah.
One game away right. from completing a full football season.
Right. Stunning, isn't it?
First sport not to be, quote-unquote, affected by the pandemic.
Don't think for a minute the NFL won't wear this like a badge.
Oh,
oh, hey.
The badge
Even
wearing
the
it as a badge.
Couldn't stop us. We're the NFL. Yeah. So how was your weekend, man? Good?
It was
you worked
weekend.
A lot. Yeah, I know that. You were doing a lot of public address announcing for an interesting weekend of basketball.
Oh, interesting was definitely an adjective you could use.
I had the good fortune of meeting one of my comedic heroes.
I saw your wife post about this. I know you must have been over the moon when people hear this story.
My wife and I are gigantic John Cleese fans, not just from Monty Python or any of that stuff, but we love him in A Fish Called Wanda, which is a movie that I had you watch. Mm-hmm. I just think he's just the greatest. And so there was times when, like, back in when I lived in Chicago, I had a buddy who went to London. He's like, dude, you're not going to believe this. I was walking down the streets in London. I walked by this office, and it was John Cleese's office, and he was sitting right there, and I saw him. I'm like, man, I'd love to just meet John Cleese one day. Saturday afternoon, we pull into this place. We're going to get some food, some lunch, and I look out on the patio, and there's a table of 10 people, and then right there, John Cleese, and I knew it immediately. And I told my wife in the car, I said, that's John Cleese right there. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I parked the car and I'm looking, and the thing, not only did it look just like John Cleese, which is funny because it was him, but the thing that was really that the giveaway was he was at a table of about 10 people, and you could see that everyone's attention at the table, woof, right at him. You knew it was a celebrity. Woof, you could just see it. You know what I mean?
I don't remember the last time I saw a table with 10 people around it. That must have been weird.
So I'm like, okay, this is unbelievable here. And so I told my wife, you do know we're going to have to be those people. You do know we're going to have to introduce ourselves. But on top of it all, it's going to be you as the young female who's going to go and do this. Right, just to kind of like disable everything.
And
right?
she was down with that.
He couldn't have been cooler. He couldn't have been funnier. He couldn't have been nicer. He was.
That's great.
Oh, it was.
I know how much you love that movie,
or just that comedian in general.
Yeah, he's in town. He did a show over the weekend.
Yeah, and as we were sitting there, and everyone in my family was trying to reconcile. Are you sure, Dad? Yes, I'm sure. My daughter did some searching on the. Oh, look, he's playing Stand Up Live tomorrow. Oh, okay, now I know it's him. It was great, dude. So I went home that Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, I'm going to sit in this chair the rest of the weekend and not even care what happens to me, because this was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Just so random.
I'm not saying you were wrong for doing it, but I'm not one of those people. I usually can't go up to people.
We waited till they got the check and they were departing. You know what I mean?
I would think that.
We timed it that way so we wouldn't, because I know what it's, we know what it's like. We've seen what it's like to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's an art to it.
And that's in normal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
In COVID circumstances, especially, they probably don't want just strangers coming
Without
up to them all.
Without a doubt. Yeah, but we did, I mean, it's like, we didn't roll up to the table. She just rolled up within about 10 feet. Hi, Mr. Cleese. big fans.
The closest I've ever come to that was I was standing in line behind Vince Vaughn.
Oh,
at DeFalco's in Scottsdale.
Is that right?
And it was, you know, it was busy, and he was waiting for his food just like everybody else. And I didn't say anything to him, and I regret it. Because I do, I'm a big Vince Vaughn fan.
You should have.
Yeah.
You get one shot in
one opportunity.
Like that. And if that person,
spaghetti.
And if that celebrity decides to be a Delta Bravo to you, that's on them.
Yeah.
And that's also
on them.
That's some good information that you now have about someone that you once loved, if they are that way to you.
Right, exactly.
If they're not nice,
right.
And you're like,
and
okay,
it,
well, I'm glad I found this out.
Yeah. So there you go. That was my weekend.
You got me beat, man.
There you go.
Way to go.
All right. Let's start the show, Carlin.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
And we start the Splash, obviously, with the matchup for Super Bowl 55 set. Kansas City Chiefs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be playing for the Vince Lombardi Trophy in 13 days at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Buccaneers, first team to punch their ticket. They beat the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, 31-26, Tom Brady, 3 touchdown passes, including a dagger of a 39-yarder to Scotty Miller with 1 second left in the first half. The Bucs would then build a 28-10 lead. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers fought back. They got to within 5 at 28-23 through 3 quarters. Tampa Bay added a field goal, but with just over 2 minutes to play and trailing 31-23, Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur opted to kick a field goal on 4th and goal. Packers never got the ball back. And Tom Brady is headed to his 10th Super Bowl, and the Bucs becoming the first team ever to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Yeah, the story is in order of importance, and there are a lot of great storylines coming out of championship weekend. Tom Brady is number one. Tom Brady going back to the Super Bowl for the 10th time as an underdog. That's clearly story number one. Aaron Rodgers postgame as it relates to Matt LaFleur and the Packers and his disappointment. Is he going to force his way out? That's the second biggest. Bruce Arians getting to the Super Bowl locally, a guy that left here after 2016 and we thought he was retiring and he took a gig in the booth and then he came back. Now he's going to the Super Bowl. These are all very weighty stories, Vinny. Not to mention this rash of NFL head coaches who, under the highest moments of pressure, have completely turtled and gone soft.
I don't think there's any other way to say it. The list is long and impressive.
Yes, it is.
And we'll go over that list today.
Yes, we will.
Welcome to the club, Matt LaFleur. Chiefs headed back to defend their Super Bowl title. They beat the Bills 38-24 in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. Buffalo started quickly. They jumped out to a 9-0 lead in the first quarter, but it was all KC over the last 45 minutes. Patrick Mahomes showing no ill effects of being in concussion protocol. He threw for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns, 2 of them to tight end Travis Kelce. The combination of Mahomes, the offensive scheme, and the weapons that he has to work with, at this point, just seems unfair to the rest of football, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. I had the revelation, I said this before the program, that, you know, we can sit here and talk about Davante Adams. We can talk about Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins. Games like yesterday, you realize that the most unstoppable weapon in the NFL at that position is Tyreek Hill. And it just, to me, it's games like that that make you go, oh, yeah, of course. How could we forget how much better than everybody else he is? He's faster than the elite fast guys in the NFL. What a weapon that guy is.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic.
Maniac.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. Maybe we can go a bit down that road again, because I think you hit on something very important. The way they employ him makes him the best weapon in the NFL.
Okay.
And that's on the coaches.
Yeah.
And that's a feather in their cap.
And I think we were maybe our initial inclinations were right. Josh Allen and the Bills were not quite ready for this moment.
I
talked myself into it on Friday that Josh Allen might be the bust out guy of the weekend. And then,
I had that feeling that the Bills were special. I went 0-2 on my picks in championship weekend, but I thought the Bills would get it done. And yeah, that was kind of my takeaway. I don't think they played a horrible game, They weren't as sharp as they've been. They lacked that magic quality, but credit goes to Kansas City. I think this is the beginning of a very long run of success for Buffalo, quite honestly. Early betting lines have the Chiefs 3.5-point favorite in the game. The Super Bowl, which takes place February 7th. Tom Brady is a Super Bowl underdog.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No, you don't. Elsewhere in the NFL over the weekend, Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, who has spent his entire career with that team, requesting a trade. The number one overall pick in the 2009 draft, Stafford has spent his, like I said, 12 years in Detroit. He's got franchise records with over 45,000 passing yards, 282 touchdown passes, but in those 12 years, the Lions only made the playoffs three times and have gone 0-3 in those games.
Yeah.
Somebody's
going
to get themselves a good quarterback if this comes to fruition.
Yeah, and this is going to be, a lot of people are looking at this as maybe marking a new era in the NFL, but there could be some big names on the move, and unfortunately, one, if not more, might end up in the NFC West.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Interesting and more to the point, really frustrating weekend for the Phoenix Suns. They dropped back-to-back games against the Nuggets Friday and Saturday. Suns now 8-7 on the year, but 2-5 in their last seven games. To complicate matters, Devin Booker left Friday's overtime loss with a hamstring injury and didn't play Saturday. Cam Johnson left Saturday's double overtime loss with a leg issue. Phoenix back in action Wednesday night against Oklahoma City.
Yeah. At what point in time do you become concerned with this basketball team and their inability to perform well in the clutch, their lack of identity? I don't know. I don't think I'm there, Vinny, but I didn't think this basketball team would be one game over 500 at this point.
I'm kind of there with you. I think they're going to get stuff ironed out, but there's a lot of questions right now, and we'll ask some of those questions today. Frustrating loss for the Coyotes yesterday, 1-0 at the hands of Vegas. They got a goal from William Karlsson with 42 seconds left. The goal immediately followed a missed icing call by the official. Instead, the Knights get the win. Coyotes drop 3-4 against Vegas. They'll host Anaheim in Glendale Tuesday and Thursday. ASU, U of A running it back at McHale Center in Tucson. Sun Devils trying to snap that five-game losing streak. 9 o'clock tip-off. Yay!
What is that all about?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, isn't that great?
You can hear it here, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The ghost of Larry Scott.
Yeah, beginning at 8:30 with pregame coverage. And the Cactus League leaders have called for Major League Baseball to delay the start of spring training in Arizona due to Maricopa County's high coronavirus infection rate. In a letter to MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred dated last Friday, leaders said they believe it is wise to delay the start of spring training to allow for the COVID-19 situation to improve here.
Yeah, i.e., can we delay this until fans can come to the game so we can actually make some money here in Arizona? That's basically what they're saying. I expect Rob Manfred to say, no, we are on schedule. Teams are going to report and get ready for the season with or without fans in attendance.
They just played a full 60-game season and postseason with no fans in attendance. You think they're going to grant this wish to the Cactus League?
No, I don't.
No, I don't. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your splash for Monday, January 25th. The field is down to two. We'll give you our big picture thoughts on NFL Championship Weekend next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
One more snap. Mahomes goes to a knee. The trophy stays here because the Lamar Hunt Trophy stays anchored in the hearts of everyone who shares Lamar Hunt's vision. The Chiefs Kingdom captures the trophy and it stays here. Yes, the Chiefs are back-to-back AFC champions, and the Super Bowl 54 champions are ready to run it back. They are headed to Super Bowl 55 as a road team to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That is Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, with, for my opinion, the cheesiest end call championship-clinching victory in the history of sports broadcasting.
That's somebody who spent too much time Saturday night scripting out what he would say when the game was over.
And then I don't know if he actually scripted it. I don't know if you could find the script.
I mean, throwing in the hip, run it back. That was really bad, Vinny. I mean, that was as bad as you said it was going to be. It was dreadful.
But that doesn't take away from the accomplishment. The Kansas City Chiefs going to the Super Bowl for the second straight year as AFC champions. Looked a little vulnerable early as Buffalo jumped out to the 9-0 lead, Bick. But that point on, it was all Kansas City. We got their bag of tricks with the little flip touchdown pass from Mahomes to Kelce. Mahomes looked healthy. They know what their weapons are in Kansas City, and they exploit them to an expert degree. This is a phenomenal football team. And you have the stat that's running around now about Patrick Mahomes now in his third year as an NFL starter has yet to lose. He will play in more Super Bowls, two Super Bowls, before he's got a loss of more than one score. Never lost a game by more than 8 points in the NFL.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's that's kind of how dominant they are, and why their perceived struggles this past year were kind of, you had to take them with a grain of salt, because this football team has got so many unstoppable weapons, from their quarterback to their wide receiver to their tight end, in that order. Good luck staying on top of that team for 60 minutes.
Yep.
So that game to me was clearly melodramatic. It was it wasn't the same level as the first game. In the first game, well, I think you're right, it wasn't the most crisp of games, if you will. There was an epic heavyweight feel to it, in my opinion, that really carried that day. And it was weird to me to go from one game to the other. There was like not enough time in between the games to just kind of, you know, just chill and get ready for the second game. And I rarely ever feel that way with NFL playoff games. Generally, there feels like there's a good break. I don't know whether the first game went long or whether they scheduled them close together, but it seemed like they were right on top of each other.
I couldn't watch any post game or reaction or anything. Yeah,
right. Yeah, so I had that feeling. I had the feeling of, man, for having fans back in limited capacity, I don't know whether it was smart, I don't know whether it was safe, but man, did it make a difference to feel a fan presence at these football games.
It did, especially in the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game, because Green Bay, they all had those noisemakers. I don't know exactly what they were, but my takeaway from that was, you know, that was a game-long effort by the fans when Green Bay was on defense to make noise. So I'm glad the people of Green Bay actually got some exercise for an extended period of time.
Oh, yeah.
It was a weird sound, though, wasn't it?
It sounded like, for a minute, when it first started, I thought it was pouring outside. I thought it was rain hitting my window behind me.
Yeah, it was a strange sound.
Yeah, it was. It really, really was. And they... I think after the game, I think it was Tom Brady who kind of poked fun at, I don't know how many the Packers say they allowed into that game. It sure looked like there were a lot of people in that lower bowl. Again, I'm not judging. I'm just saying. This was, yesterday to me was a vibe that I'm like, okay, this is what's been missing in sports, and I can't wait to get this back. I know you feel that all the time. I don't even know how you do it, being a PA address announcer, talking to basically nobody.
With no P.
Yeah, right, with no P. You're just an A announcer. You're just an A, right?
Some might call me an A followed by another word after that.
Right. So, I think that was like, wow, I missed this.
Well,
this is actually vibe.
It's so weird that you say that, because, you know, I don't remember if it was Friday or Saturday night, which one, but, you know, I had this moment where I looked out to the side opposite of where I sit, and it's nothing but just like logoed tarps covering all the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at that moment, I just had this longing for actual crowd ambiance and noise. It's so weird.
Well,
so I give credit to the teams that get through that, because they might downplay it. It's an adjustment. So I agree with you, to have even a small amount of that yesterday in big game situations. And Bruce Arians talked about it. He's like, this was real football for the first time, from that aspect, for the first time all year, having that crowd noise.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So at least it was that, and like I said, at least those games were in outdoor settings, cold weather cities. I kind of vibed on both of that. One game captured my attention much more than the other, because And I know we're going to get into this into detail, but I just don't understand why these coaches keep saying, well, you can't kick field goals when you play the Chiefs, and yet this is what teams keep doing. And Sean McDermott yesterday, three times, once on the first drive of the game, just, okay, let's three-point our way to victory. And that's like, what are you doing, man?
It's not the NBA.
Have you not watched this team play? So, I don't know. So, to me, the first game was so much better than the second game yesterday.
I agree.
That was one of my big takeaways. My big takeaway also was, I can't believe we've gotten here with all the cancellations and the nonsense we've seen in the NBA relative to COVID-19. I can't believe we're here with one game left to play. And I know football's different because they play once a week. I know that dramatically different. But still, I can't believe the way we spoke about the NFL season during the pandemic, pre-NFL season, and now we're here at the very end.
For the first time ever, we saw real NFL games, real NFL games on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this season.
I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I hope it never happens
again. That is crazy. So again, like I said, there are a lot of big storylines to come out of these games. I think it's an interesting Super Bowl. This is an amazing time for the city of Tampa. I mean, this is just stupid what they've been able to experience.
Oh, it's
it is stupid. Well, and of any city,
and I know long-suffering sports fans in Phoenix and the state of Arizona are saying that would be Arizona's luck. You know, it's diminished a little bit. I wouldn't care one bit. Can you imagine doing this show? Talking about a third team playing for a championship.
Do you know what that would do for our psyche? It would change everything.
It's never going
to
happen.
We said last week we just want a second team to make the playoffs the same year as another team.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay, of all I mean, they've one of the newer professional sports cities, kind of like Phoenix, not even with the same rich history as Phoenix, quite honestly.
And it's just, and for those who have ever been to the Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater area, it is, there are a lot of similarities between that region and our region. A columnist friend of mine in Tampa, we used to joke about it all the time, we're basically like siblings in terms of sports markets, full of elderly people, full of tourists looking for the sun, full of golfers.
A lot of transplants.
You've got a lot of, you've got baseball teams that came in together. You've got NFL franchises that were both considered punchlines of the NFL, two worst NFL franchises at one point in time. There's a lot of similarities between Tampa and the Valley, but now they won a Stanley Cup with the Lightning. They reached the World Series for a second time with the Rays, who, as you pointed out, play in the same division as the Red Sox and the Yankees. And they somehow got to the World Series against the Dodgers. And now you got the Buccaneers going to the Super Bowl, playing a home Super Bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of you guys pointed out pre-show, they've also were gifted an NBA team on loan this year.
The Tamperanto Raptors.
The Tamperanto Raptors.
And they're also hosting WrestleMania.
Well, who cares about that?
Not everything's great. Coming up next, two words coming out of the NFC Championship game. Tom Brady. We'll get into it more next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
8 seconds, 7 seconds. Brady to throw. Throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Scotty Scooter Miller. And Brady puts it right on the spot. Bucks score with no time left or very little in the first half.
VA wanted to go for it. I liked the call and was, you know, I'm going to do whatever he asked me to do. And then, you know, Byron dialed up a great play and we got behind the defense. We had a couple other opportunities too. So, you know, it's just a great job by Scotty running a great route, getting open, and I just try to lay out there for him for him to go grab it.
Oh, easily, in my estimation, Bick, the biggest play of the weekend. The flip-flop from timeout to going for it. Mm-hmm. Then there's maybe the thought, okay, Tampa Bay is going to do a little out pattern to make the field goal a little bit easier. Nope. They went full, no risk it, no biscuit, and it paid off, and they're going to the Super Bowl because of it. It was a tremendous throw by Tom Brady as well.
It was, but it was also a tremendous moment in contrasting Bruce Arians and coaching staff and others.
And everyone else.
And everyone else. I mean, it's when they called timeout, I thought, okay, yeah, I don't know if I'd go for it either here. I'd be pretty comfortable being up four. I don't know if you want to... If you want to test this and give Aaron Rodgers the ball back possibly, and then two plays later they're scoring a touchdown, I'm like, wow, that is, talk about a big moment for the no risk it, no biscuit philosophy. Yeah, that was a huge play.
Yeah, so
huge.
Tom Brady is going to a 10th Super Bowl. The resume, which was the most impressive in football history, gets more impressive. They do it by winning three straight road games, which is, you know, not the same as it normally would be to win three road games on your way to the Super Bowl, but still not a very easy task. Bruce Arians said it after the game, hey, I kind of wish we were playing this one on the road. We're playing so well at home. But Tom Brady, the focus of it, a lot of people, including yourself, Bic, because of Tom Brady's arrival in Tampa, you jumped on, and you said that this team's going to the Super Bowl, and you were correct. By the way, you nailed both sides.
I did.
Way to go.
Well, thank you. I don't think I'm really alone in that. I think a lot of people have picked that combination. So, but thank you. I appreciate it. But going into yesterday's game, I didn't pick Tampa to win that game. I picked them before the season began. So, but I didn't think that they were going to pull this off, given the way that Aaron Rodgers was playing. And Tom Brady just came out, and in that first half, the way he was dropping passes on guys' fingertips just out of the sky, I'm like, oh, okay. This is kind of what we talked about. When you got into a football game like that with a guy who is that accomplished and that good at playing in clutch situations, that's what you get. And he was feeling it. And I know the second half got a little wonky on him, but man. Wow.
It did. I mean, and Tom Brady, for all of his great plays in that game, he gave Green Bay a chance to win it, and they weren't able to take advantage of it. But after the game, he talked about the win and this, quite honestly, up-and-down season for Tampa Bay.
Well, it's been a great journey thus far. And, you know, we put the work in, and a lot of guys were just embraced everything that, you know, really when Bia got here last year, you know, there was a lot of great things that were happening and a lot of great young players. And, you know, I just loved, you know, made the decision and, you know, love coming to work every day with this group of guys. And they worked really hard to get to this point. And it's a tough game. Had a few tough games in a row. And the next one will be really tough, too. But we know what we're playing for. And we got 2 weeks to prepare. It's going to be a great opponent. And be really exciting a couple weeks for us.
He also talked about the risky nature of leaving somewhere you were so comfortable, so entrenched for two decades, and coming to Tampa Bay.
Well, this is the ultimate team sport, and you know, we've had a lot of people work really hard over a course of a period of time to get to this point. So, you know, it's a tough journey to get here. So, to go on the road and win another road playoff game is just a great achievement. And, you know, now home Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, I think puts a lot of cool things in perspective. Anytime you're the first time doing something, it's usually a pretty good thing.
And I know there's a lot of widespread reaction among football fans now. And even though the uniform is different, they're just completely over Tom Brady fatigue. And look, I get the fatigue when a guy is that dominant or a part of such domination for such a long time. You're not supposed to switch teams and get back to that same stage in year one. It's just not supposed to happen. But I get the fatigue. I do not despise Tom Brady the way people do. In fact, the more I watch him play at age 43, and you mentioned it, the way he was putting the ball out there for his receivers, when he's back to pass and still needs to put some heat on the ball, he can. If you were watching that game and you didn't know how old Tom Brady was, and somebody said he's 43, you'd have them committed. There's no way. What he's been able to do over the course of his career is mind-boggling.
Wow.
And he's still at that level.
Yeah, listen, I totally agree with that. Here's the thing about Tom Brady, because I am at the front of that line. I have never liked Tom Brady's kind of just the way he I don't like the humble bragging. I don't like how great he is when things are going his way and exactly the opposite when that is not true. There's a lot about him I'm not a big fan of. I felt the same way you did watching that game. I'm like, okay, this guy, he's not that bad. This guy deserves this. I feel good about this. And then I saw that stupid video he had to take of him and Gronk sauntering to the team plane, pimping themselves like always, and it bubbled up inside of me again. Because he's just full of it.
But he's not the only athlete to do stuff like that. Everybody does it.
But he's supposed to be above that kind of stuff.
Why?
Because he acts like he is. He sits there and, oh, well, it's a team game and it's a victory for every. And then you circulate that like, look at me. Look who's the big boss. I'm just.
Boy, did he get a significant W in that Belichick versus Brady.
It's thing. Enormous.
Oh, it's completely one-sided at this point.
Oh, and we were discussing this, and we'll have plenty of time to discuss this in the next couple of weeks, that if he wins a Super Bowl in his first chance opposite Bill Belichick as a 5 seed, that's going to be impossible to top. So when you start talking about Patrick Mahomes, I guarantee you, as a young kid who's just getting started, the last thing that resonates with him is legacy. But this is kind of one of these moments early on in his career that are going to either make his path to become the greatest of all time relatively easier or immensely difficult. If Patrick Mahomes loses this game to Tom Brady and Tom Brady makes this point, it's going to take an awful lot to displace him in terms of mythological GOAT status.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, my thoughts on it, and again, we could circle back to this because we do have a lot of time to talk about this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
There's still people that love to ask the question about, is Tom Brady the greatest of all? As if there's any debate at this point. There's no debate in my mind. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that's ever walked the planet. But make no mistake about it. He's a placeholder. Because Patrick Mahomes will take that crown from him. That's how amazed I am seeing what he's done in his 3 years as a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could talk about Tom Brady, 14 conference championship games in 21 years, which is an amazing statistic, 10 Super Bowls. I mean, he's almost played in 1/5 of the Super Bowls. There's been 55. He will have played in 10.
Uh-huh. Well,
but he's only been eligible to play in the last 21.
I agree. And
he's played in half the Super Bowl this century.
Yeah, that he could play in. It's crazy.
He's that good. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And yes, there will come a time when he gets to prove that. There will come a time when he will not have an embarrassment of weapons around him, but that's one of the stories here. I mean, you look at Kansas City, and they've gone out and they've made it a point to surround Tom Brady with as many good players as possible, and they don't stop the acquisitions. You look at Jason Light in Tampa. I mean, they brought in Antonio Brown because Tom Brady wanted him. They brought in Rob Gronkowski because Tom Brady wanted him. They brought in Leonard Fournette at a time when they seemed to be just fine at tailback, but they brought him in anyways. They added pieces. It's partly what Aaron Rodgers is so ticked off about.
It's also what
the Cardinals aren't doing.
It's also what the Patriots would never do for him, except for that 1 year with Randy Moss.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I think, and again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but so what? When you look at Tom Brady, I think Tom Brady could very well be the guy that could win the Super Bowl this year and still not hang it up. And still not have had enough.
We'll just let that hang there, because I think that's a very, very interesting point that you just hit on. Coming up next, questions surrounding the Phoenix Suns after back-to-back losses to Denver over the weekend. We'll dive into some of those questions straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Jokic holds the ball up high, puts it on the floor, gets it out to Jamal Murray. Murray driving to his left, pulls back, forces up a shot. He hit it. Three-pointer's good. He hit it, and we're going to go to overtime. Just what the Suns did not want.
Al McCoy, Tim Kempton, that was Saturday night in downtown Phoenix here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A game won in double overtime by the Denver Nuggets over the Suns. And it was a weird, frustrating weekend for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, yeah.
Friday and Saturday, we had three extra periods of basketball. Both games went to overtime. Saturday night, there was actually a lot to feel good about if you were a Suns fan because they were shorthanded. Devin Booker didn't play in that game. Cam Johnson got hurt. DeAndre Ayton fouled out of that game. There wasn't a whole lot of bodies left, and they hung with a good Denver team that had its full complement of players.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, a team that has assassins on it. Jamal Murray's an assassin.
Yeah.
And he made that shot. Comes out in the two-minute report that it should have been called a travel, that he took an extra step. That would have obviously prevented the game from going to overtime. But,
let's stop there for a second.
Okay.
Let's talk about that play because, like I said, I think in real time, it looks like it's a sensational shot by Jamal Murray. You look at the replay, and it's obvious he does a little toe tap that might be four steps instead of just two. It's mm-hmm. clearly a travel on the instant replay, yet they can't review it. Why can you review whether a person's foot on the line if you can't review that in an endgame situation?
One of my takeaways from the weekend, especially Saturday's game, was just blow the whole NBA replay system up. It is just a disaster.
It was cumbersome.
There was very little, for the most part, in Friday's game, very little in terms of interference from the officials, except for the overturned elbow that they called on Devin Booker that was supposed to be a three-point play, turned into an offensive foul. It was a huge swing with about 4 minutes left to go in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get Saturday night, and everything was reviewed. Everything. The officials on the floor could not make a call without immediately coming over to the video monitor to see if they got it right. It was like they had training wheels on. It's ridiculous.
It's horrible. Basketball needs to be played. There needs to be flow. You can't stop and start that much in basketball.
And then, just like you said, if you're going to have that replay and if you're going to check everything, then check everything.
Yes, and what they limit, each coach has one challenge, which is fine. We don't want to get bogged down with challenges, but they should say, you get one challenge, you can challenge anything you want. Doesn't have to be a foul, doesn't have to be a possession play. It's very limited on what they can challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. But here was Monty Williams on what he saw on that play from Murray.
I saw four steps, and this is what I'm talking about. I just looked at it. I saw four steps. I saw a step back, and then a bump, bump, bump. So it looked like four. It was at least three. And so I'm not the only one that's watching. And this is the stuff that bothers me. If we're going to go back and look to see if the shot was, you know, on time, then we also need to look at his feet. Now, tomorrow they could come out with a, you know, late whatever and say, I hope they say he traveled. But it ain't going to help us. But the shot shouldn't have counted because it was a travel. I'm pretty sure you guys saw the same things.
All right.
And that did happen, by the way. The report came out, and they.
I respect that. I really do. I'm telling you that as somebody who watched it in person, it didn't even dawn on me that it was travel until you saw it.
Okay.
And then it was obvious.
Yeah.
So how much anger can you have for a human error? I would have a lot of anger at the system because that you have to be. That's a game changing no call.
Okay. But what
did you think of DeAndre Ayton's defense on the play? Were you cool with it?
I initially thought. I was worried that they were going to count the bucket and make it an and one. They also confirmed that DeAndre Ayton didn't foul him.
No.
But it is a lot easier to get a shot over DeAndre Ayton when you're fading away when you're allowed to take an extra two steps. But
okay,
before we even
that.
Get to the point
okay.
where you said, okay, you have anger at the system. Okay. I respect that. But also, if we're going to ask questions, why is a player like Jamal Murray, who I just described as an assassin, a guy when there's a big shot to be made, thrives in those scenarios, why is he getting an opportunity to take a three when it's a three-point lead? Yeah. Why are you not fouling when Nikola Jokic is 25 feet from the hoop and holding the ball for 5 seconds?
Totally agree.
Put him on the line.
I didn't
make some free throws and win the game.
I didn't get that either. Because once they had a switch and they had Ayton on Murray, you can't do it there. Regardless of whether DeAndre Ayton had five fouls or not, you can't do it with Jamal Murray having the ball.
Had to come earlier.
Yeah, to come earlier.
That was the second biggest brain fart of the weekend. The first one was Chris Paul not calling the timeout. I think that was Friday's game.
Denver took an early shot, and the Suns get possession with like 2.6 seconds left, and Chris Paul tries a half-court heave instead. And he took blame for that. But let's ask the Chris Paul questions, too.
Mm-hmm.
Both games, he was amazing in the first half at distributing the basketball. 14 assists Friday night in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I actually tweeted out at halftime, something that looked like hashtag Skiles watch. Scott Skiles holds the NBA record for 30 assists in a game. I thought he was on pace. He had one in the second half.
Yeah.
Saturday night, 12 assists in the first half, one in the second, and everything was difficult offensively in the second.
Yeah.
And part of the reason was, and we had Monty Williams on the show last week, and he said, absolutely, this is the plan to get DeAndre Ayton more involved. DeAndre Ayton has played four really good basketball games in a row. But he's not a shot creator. And he got two shots in the second half of Saturday's game, and one of them was a three-pointer.
Yeah. You're getting, and we're going to get into this next time we talk about the Suns, about what is wrong with this basketball team. This is part of what's wrong with this basketball team. They're very erratic in when they play well. It doesn't last. They don't have a go-to style of play down the stretch of games. Their shooting percentage from three-point territory is not commensurate to the amount of shots they're taking. They're shooting the ball like they're a transcendent three-point shooting team, and the numbers do not bear that out. Chris Paul, I agree with you. There are times when his dribble penetrations in the lane, they're kind of hollow because he doesn't finish at the rim all that much, and he doesn't get to the rim. He stops, starts, stops, starts. Yeah, I'm not totally cool with Chris Paul's level of play either. I think there's one thing I was really wrong about was I thought this chemistry of this team was going to pop. I really honestly did, and it's not.
Well, the three-point thing was really on display on Saturday. They hit 10 of 20 in the first half, and then I think they went 6 of 32 the rest of the game.
Yeah.
They don't adjust at all.
No,
they just keep
firing them up. They do. Yeah. They don't have that internal kind of not wherewithal to know when it's cool to play like that and when it's not cool to play like that. And it's weird because you got a whole bunch of different agendas. You got Mikal Bridges and his revamped shot that is really effective sometimes and really bad sometimes. You've got Jay Crowder, who got himself into a shoot first, ask questions later mentality last year in Miami because Eric Spoelstra told him, shoot the ball every time, shoot it every time. Every time. So he's in that mentality now. It's just, it's not calibrated. This team is not fully connected to a certain identity, and that's a little bit troublesome.
Yeah, they took 53 three-pointers on Saturday.
Too many.
Out of 102 total shots.
I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, and you're right. It's like, and it, especially with DeAndre and the fact that he had given you a really good game on Friday again and a really good first half on Saturday, and then he just disappeared, and it wasn't really his fault. It just the game got away from Phoenix, and that's, they got to find a way to keep all this stuff together. And I know Devin Booker not playing is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean,
but he might not. I don't know what his status is this week.
Well, hamstrings, you know, it doesn't seem like the injury that NBA players bounce back quickly from, where you miss a game. A hamstring usually takes a week to 2 weeks to come back from in today's NBA. Mm-hmm. But another thing we didn't even get into is this just collection of big blown leads. And I know the NBA, no lead is really safe, but they've had a ton of them lately. And they played a tremendous first half on Friday night and blew a 16-point lead in that loss.
Yeah, that Friday night's game really bothered me.
Yeah, so they have a couple days off to try to get healthy, get some people back, maybe before more back-to-back games. Oklahoma City on Wednesday night and the Golden State Warriors here on Thursday night. Coming up next, we've seen it once. We've seen it a dozen times in the postseason. What happened to the bold decision-making of NFL head coaches when games are on the line. Oof. We'll get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.